Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Raw Deal, with a combined broadcast for my Christmas blog fest for all things reconsidered. Of necessity, time has compelled. It turns out I was going to do a top 10 stories of 2022, but there turned out to be so many that I actually have a top 12. So the 12th of the top 10 stories doing our countdown. DeSantis sends 50 immigrants to Martha's Vineyard. This was spectacular. Martha's Vineyard voting 84% for Biden gets illegal aliens deported to a military base. This was a brilliant move. After declaring a humanitarian crisis, the outcry from Martha's Vineyard over 50 illegals has prompted Governor Charlie Baker to deport the group from the elite island off the coast to a nearby military base. This week, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis flew about 50 illegals to Martha's Vineyard, a wealthy enclave of liberals and home to former President Obama, homes a nearly $12 million estate. Democrats on the island immediately declared a humanitarian crisis, even as the 50s are a drop in the bucket compared to the nearly 6,000 border crossing and illegals American border towns are subjected to every day. A Spanish reporter said Martha's Vineyard residents privately admitted they don't want migrants here. Ted Cruz puts Martha's Vineyard crisis into perspective. 15,000 Haitian illegal immigrants entered Del Rio in a single day. In a tweet Wednesday, Ted Cruz explained how 15,000 migrants, not 50, flooded into Del Rio, Texas in a single day. Folks on Martha's Vineyard are describing the burdens from 50 illegal immigrants. To put that in perspective, the small town of Del Rio, Texas has about 30,000 residents. I was there when 15,000 illegals were crossing into Del Rio in a single day. 15,000 is more than 50. Nevertheless, the island official caused the influx of 50 a humanitarian crisis. Turns out Martha's Vineyard could easily house 6 million refugees. I say let's put them all there. Meanwhile, Rain Root observes, Biden's not in charge. Here's exactly what's happening. Our country is being destroyed. It's clearly a purposeful communist attack about America from a thousand different directions. But the president isn't Biden. He's just a figurehead puppet. The real president is Obama. Their ultimate aim of this strategy is a new program for direct income distribution, also known throughout the history of socialism, communism, which had led to the debt, despair, and depravity of hundreds of millions. The four steps of the Cloward-driven strategy: overload and break the welfare system, have chaos ensue, take control of the chaos, implement socialism and communism through government force. As Milton Friedman famously observed, there is nothing so permanent as a temporary government program. That's because the government sets out to fix a problem with a new program. However, that program never seems to go away. Does this mean government never fixes a problem, or that government will never shrink unless forced to do so by receiving less money? We know the answer to that. It's death by a thousand paper cuts. Under 8 years of Obama, they boiled the frog slowly. They attacked in slow motion, hoping you wouldn't notice, like cooking a frog. They set the temperature so low, the faucet doesn't realize he's being boiled until he's dead. But now, with Biden taking the heat, Obama is free to accelerate the process. Now Obama is throwing caution to the wind. He set the heat as high as it goes. This is the final communist takeover of America. The biggest scams in world history are all being carried out right now, all at once, right in front of your eyes. They're hitting you from so many directions, you're a combination of dizzy and punch drunk. But here are the two biggest scams of all time. These two scams are the foundation of the communist attack. It all started with a stolen election. That was number one. They had to remove Trump. They spied on his campaign, then they spied on his actual presidency, which is treason. They trumped up fake charges to frame him. They spewed propaganda like the Third Reich. They tried to impeach him multiple times over nothing. Meanwhile, analysis. And we all know, by the way, as economists agree, you cannot combine open borders with a welfare state. It will overwhelm the system and it will collapse. So, further proof of what's going on here, Joe Biden brings 1,350,000 illegal aliens into the United States and taking office. And the master plan is to bring in 100 million. U.S. pop around 330 million, 100 million. It's going to dilute our demographic permanently. It's going to alter the quality of life, will drop. This is part of implementing the North American Union without the consent of the governed. This is all taking place, and no one's doing a damn thing about it. Top 12 story number 11. Brittany Grimes freed. And woman is redefined. Why the U.S. got Brittany Grimer freed instead of a U.S. Marine? Here we have this very fine U.S. Marine, and here we have Brittany Grimer. This is pretty disconcerting, especially for myself as a former Marine Corps officer, that this trade was negotiated. When White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, herself a lesbian, was asked why the Biden admin prioritized freeing Brittany Griner, the lesbian basketball player convicted of smuggling drugs into Russia, she responded that Griner inspired millions. As one of my correspondents on Twitter quipped, alluding to the WNBA's paltry ratings, inspiring dozens doesn't have quite the same ring. Journalist Pedro Gonzalez offered a sadly more likely explanation. As Gonzalez elaborates on his Substack, Whelan served in the Marines and worked as a police officer in Michigan. There is something to that. On the other hand, Griner has spent her life playing an utterly irrelevant sport. She has been prescribed medical cannabis, which is what we say today about people who are addicted to the most pathetic kind of drug. It's not even a cool drug like cocaine. She was arrested with a vape containing hash oil. The Russians basically did Americans a favor. But here is the fundamental difference. The reason Griner was prioritized over Whelan, she is a black lesbian who resents America, making her the ideal citizen in the current United States. By the way, I don't think that marijuana is a bad thing. I believe marijuana ought to be legalized, standardized, regulated, and taxed. The states that have done that, like Colorado, are making a bonanza. Potentially, it can cause other taxation in the state to drop because they're doing so well with it. Meanwhile, at Political Insider reports, we're literally in 1984. Cambridge Dictionary adds a new definition of woman. Kathleen Anderson writes, I used to believe that words mattered, but that's not the case anymore. The progressive left has mastered the tactic of changing the nature of, well, nature, by merely adjusting the definition of words to match their narrative. By keeping pressure on society to adjust the reality that we live in, they have managed to erase decades of progress for various actual progressive movements throughout history. The first thing they attacked was the gains made through the civil rights movement by telling everyone that color does indeed matter and that to say otherwise is bizarrely racist. The next target was the feminist movement that saw considerable leaps in equal rights for women celebrate what it means to be a woman. Apparently, what it means to be a woman is whatever you want it to mean, including being a man. Cambridge Dictionary just dropped a new definition of woman. As an adult who lives and identifies as female, though they may have been said to have a different sex at birth. I mean, how absurd is this? She was the first trans woman elected to a national office. Mary is a woman who was assigned male at birth. God! This is confounding biology with politics. This is just ridiculous. 'Cause I'm just a girl. When I was a kid, I used to want to strangle my mother because from the time I could read, if I didn't know the meaning of a word or how to spell it, she would tell me to go look it up, which meant a trip to our trusty dictionary, which had a prominent place in our home. Man, I feel like a woman. Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling has probably taken the most heat for speaking out against the erasure of women. My favorite tweet of hers is, if sex isn't real, the lived reality of women globally is erased. I know and love trans people, but erasing the concept of sex removes the ability of many to meaningfully discuss their lives. It isn't hate to speak the truth. Meanwhile, believe it or not, we have a female trans doll which has a penis. This is just unbelievably bad. And in case you didn't notice, Brittany is a trans. Here's a photograph of her in a car, bare-chested, and it's noticeable that she has no breasts. This is a man playing in a woman's sport that's being heralded as a hero. This is just the agenda of the Biden administration seeking to induce us to believe absurdities, no doubt in the prospect that eventually they will enable us or promote us to commit atrocities, outrageous. Here are some photographs of Michelle with a strange crotch-level protuberance suggestive of a shrunken penis. I have no way to ascertain whether the pictures are Photoshop. The sources are Brock Ovomit and I hate the media, But I guarantee you, the photographs are not Photoshopped. She also went on Ellen DeGeneres' show and was dancing, and you could see something was swinging in her pants. Michelle was wearing this aqua blue dress when she gave a speech at the Democrat National Convention on August 25th, 2008. One way to verify the pic's authenticity is to find this image in the in the video of her appearance at the convention. I've done a lot about Michelle, including the following photograph, where when she has let her beard grow. When your husband is no longer president, you want to check out Deception Galore. Deception Galore. Go to my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, and track down a Deception Galore, where I go through a host of body double usage, including by Hillary Clinton, who used a body double, even internationally televised debate with Bernie Sanders, and subsequently a nationally televised debate with Donald Trump. It wasn't Hillary. It was a younger, healthier, far more attractive version. They have a voice capability that can make the voice indistinguishable from the subject, but it's clearly not Hillary. And, of course, we don't have the real Joe Biden either. Anytime you see an earlier video or photograph of Biden prior to 2017, you can count on it not being the real guy. Being the real guy. Anything thereafter, however, is fake. I go through a list of proofs there where James Woods was the first to discern that they had different colored eyes, they have different ears, they have different shape and size of skull, where a pharmacist subsequently verified they even have different signatures. Check it out. Deception galore. Meanwhile, top 12 story number 10. More stage shootings in Buffalo and in Uvalde. This is embarrassingly bad. We got a white nationalist murdering 10 and shooting at Buffalo grocery store. This is from Reuters. An 18-year-old white gunman shot 10 people to death and wounded three others at a grocery store in a black neighborhood of Buffalo, New York, before surrendering to authorities, who called it a hate crime and an act of racially motivated violent extremism. Authorities said the suspect was armed with an assault-style rifle and appeared to have acted alone. Drove to Buffalo from his home in New York County, hours away, to target the store in an attack he broadcast on the internet. 11 of the 13 people struck by gunfire were black. The suspect, who was not immediately named by police, was heavily armed and dressed in tactical gear, including body armor, police said. When confronted by officers in a vestibule of the store, the suspect held a gun to his own neck, but they talked him into dropping the weapon and surrendering. Buffalo Police Commissioner Joseph Gramagula told a news briefing. Gramagula said the gunman shot and killed three people in the parking lot of the Tops Friendly Market before exchanging fire with a former police officer working as a security guard for the store. But the suspect was protected by his body armor. The guard was one of the 10 people shot to death in the incident, the other 9 all being customers. 3 other employees of the store, part of a regional chain, were wounded but are expected to survive. Stephen Belongia, the FBI special agent in charge of the Bureau's Buffalo Field Office, said the attack would be investigated both as a hate crime and as an act of racially motivated violent extremism under federal law. Jonathan Greenblatt of the Anti-Defamation League said, while details of the horrific shooting in Buffalo are still emerging, there are already strong indicators that the individual who allegedly carried out the attack was heavily influenced by white supremacist ideology, including the virulently anti-Semitic and racist Great Replacement conspiracy theory, which, by the way, is that the United States had been flooded with immigrants in order to change our racial composition demographically. Make no mistake, this is the same hateful anti-Semitic bile that inspired the shooters in Pittsburgh, Potway, El Paso, and Charleston. Well, I've investigated those. Every one of them is a sham, and this is no exception. Here we have the video of the top store. Check it out. Here he's driving in. This was so obviously modeled after the New Zealand shooting. He even has a similar toy gun. It's painted up. And here he's stopping now. He's going to get out. He's going to point his weapon at a victim. And the victim's going to fall, but not shot, not from being shot. It looks as though it was real, but it's not. Shoot someone on the ground. Comes inside, no one in the store, by the way, another sign this was completely fake, fired at a victim, comes around, turns at him point blank, you can see the weapon all painted up, fires at him, but instead of their skull being blown apart like a pumpkin, you have nothing taking place, because it's only firing air. Here's a clip from the New Zealand where you can actually see how they CG'd in the shell casings. Here at 8:59, the shooter empties his third magazine. You can see the weapon is all painted up. Note the ejected brass cartridges disappear in midair. They do. They never hit the ground. You never hear the sound of it. They've even got an arrow where they're supposed to be ejected, so those who do the photoshopping, the CGI, we'll get it right. This is typical of what happened here. This is from the New Zealand video. And I have the whole thing. You can find it online. Conclusion, this is not live footage, but a special fix that was made by CGI. You can find it on my Twitter, at Jim Fetzer. You can find it on my blog at jimtheconspiracyguy.org, the 65 shows. You'll see this is all fake. And what we have in Buffalo is just as fake. Here we see an automatic weapon being fired that's fake. Now they add the cartridges being ejected. But again, they never hit the ground. Do we get it now? Do we understand how we're being played? Really embarrassing bad. The New Zealand led to change gun laws after the mass shooting killed 49, but it was all fraudulent. That's what they're trying to do with us. They are faking a shooting to take our guns. It began with Sandy Hook. Get this now. We have Grady Lewis, who turns out to be a witness. The suspect in the Buffalo shooting previously made a threat in his high school, police claim. Grady Lewis, a Buffalo resident who collects cans and bottles, told BuzzFeed he believes he talked to the suspect at length outside of Tops on Friday. Lewis said he saw him walk out of Tops and approach him because he looked out of place. I got a feeling he's not supposed to be here. I just had a feeling, he said. I don't like it. It's not like white people come into the store and I say, why are you here? I don't do that. It was just a feeling.
Heard the first shot, and 1.7 seconds after that, I looked up. 0.6 seconds, another shot, and he was just shooting people.
Was he just randomly targeting people, you think? Just shooting anybody?
Yes, he was randomly shooting people outside. And then I seen a security guard run in. When I saw the security guard run in, I was like, well, this ain't no movie. This is for real. And then he went in shooting more people. And I still see it in my hands that this guy was actually just shooting at people standing there. It's crazy. A guy was just shooting at people.
He targeted black people.
Yes.
He killed almost everybody. Tell me where you were when you saw him.
I saw him walking through the exit door.
And here at the Tops.
Here at Tops on Friday. And I said, he looked out of place. He looks out of place. And I walked up to him and I said, where are you from? He said, 2 or 3 hours from now. Then we start talking about race. And I was like, well, there's only one race. He's like, well, he didn't say he disagreed, but he said he feels that there's different races.
What did you think of him in that moment?
If you ask me right now, that kid that I met on Friday wasn't racist. Not the kid I met on Friday, but
super smart.
Super smart. He had a plan, obviously.
He must have a mix of emotions, right? About, I mean, you could have been there
very easily.
5 minutes earlier, you would have been there.
1 minute and 20 seconds. I just walked across the street. I just opened up my thing. Bang, 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 bang.
Now, have you ever heard anything so absurd? This is a guy who knows fractions of a second before between shots. There was the first shot, and then 1.7 second a second, and then 0.6 of a second. There was another. Can you believe anything like that? How ridiculous. Not only that, but this is supposed to be a white supremacist. And yet this guy claims he spoke to him for an hour the day before. He even says he bought him a Gatorade. What self-respecting white supremacist can talk for a guy for an hour and drink a Gatorade he bought? I mean, that's ridiculous. Then we have a replay of Sandy Hook down in Uvalde. I mean, unbelievable. Sandy Hook, Adam Lanza is supposed to have shot his mother and then gone to the school and shot 20 first graders and six adults. Well, what do we have here? Well, to vary the theme, he shoots his grandmother. And then he goes to the school and shoots 19 second, third, and fourth graders. Ridiculous beyond belief. And the New York Times did a nice piece about it. Did the New York Slimes contact each of the grieving families and say in Spanish, hey, can you scan and text us smiling home photos of your dead kids? Or did the grieving families all send these perfect photos in simultaneously? Yeah, we're killing the break, thanks. Because they have all these photographs they put right on the cover of the New York Times. Eventually, the latest thing always runs its course before giving way to the next latest thing. The Black Lives Movement came and went. The two-year-long stupid 19 psychodrama came and went. And the I Stand With Ukraine idiocy is also just about done. And with John Durham's trial of one of Hillary Clinton's lawyers wrapping up, a trial during which Hillary herself was implicated as being an instrumental part of a conspiracy to frame Trump as a Russian agent, he just knew that the dying deep state had to have a new latest thing up its sleeve to divert and counterattack. How predictable. A Texas-sized make-believe crisis actor school shooting hoax to get the normies teared up and angry at the big bad NRA, where Trump is scheduled to speak this weekend. How convenient. In of all places, Texas. How convenient. It's not even necessary to examine these silly stunts anymore. Sight unseen, we ought to know by now that they are fake as soon as we hear about them. Nevertheless, such events at least warrant a quick glance at the basics, which the editorial board of the anti-New York Times has completed. The usual agreements are all there. No blood, no bodies, no surveillance video of the event, cheesy crying acting, instantly obtained photos of all the victims, prearranged vigils popping up within 24 hours, a crazy and dead gunman, conflicting and changing accounts, all fake. Here we have a list of photographs he's picked out. The hand-to-the-mouth crying routine is a staple of every shooting hoax. Check. Group hugs and instant crosses with nicely framed photos of the dead. Check. The field of crosses was up and decorated by the very next day. Again. The book on the left still has a stupid 19 face diaper on, a twofer of the latest things, and walking in perfect rank with flowers for the cameraman. More perfect matching frames with right-sized photos of the children all lined up so quickly. He's got it exactly right. What a difference a day in a shooting hoax makes. Suddenly, like a cat chasing a laser-pointed dot, the breathless simpletons of Conservative Incorporated, all huffing and puffing about how the gun-grabbing demon rats are shamelessly politicizing the latest strategy. And now we have money for the Ukraine, but not school safety, eyes rolling. So here we have the New York Post publishing Clinton cabal exposed. Durham lifts lid on Hillary's tainted effort to frame Trump. But that gets blown off the front page with a news story. So that was May 25th. Now, the children lost May 26th with all those wonderful photographs. Not only that, but let me say that commercial aspects of this are ridiculous. In one of the photographs, they hold up a pair of green Converse sneakers that just came out of the box. The laces are tied the way they're tied out of the box. These have never been on anyone's foot. But they're claiming one of the children was so shot up that they could only identify her for her green Converse sneakers. And then Matthew McConaughey, of course, we got to have a celebrity on the scene who may or may not have been born in Uvalde, comes down with his wife. And guess what? His wife is wearing green Converse sneakers. But they have their share of glitches, too. We have two different fathers claiming for the same girl, and they all have the same last name. So we're not talking about a father and a stepfather. We're talking about a glitch, a blunder. They haven't. But the anti-New York Times has it exactly right. Another fake shooting event. Top 12 story number 9. Paul Pelosi gets hammered. Here we have a whole host of articles and reporting, and when you put it together, it's fairly stunning. Paul Pelosi had surgery to repair a fractured skull and injured right arm and hand. Speaker Pelosi sparked. Drew Hamill, spokesman for Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, issued a statement Friday updating the condition of Paul Pelosi, the speaker's 82-year-old husband, who was attacked at the couple's San Francisco home early Friday morning. Nancy Pelosi was reportedly in Washington, D.C. when the attack occurred. Here we have Daily Mail. Paul Pelosi in brain surgery after 2 a.m. hammer attack in $6 million San Francisco home. Breaking news. Police dispatch audio. Paul Pelosi, when calling cops, said he doesn't know the male is, but he advised that his name is David and he is a friend. Think about that. Paul Pelosi, when calling cops, this is all recorded, said he doesn't know who the male is, but he advised that his name is David and he's a friend. Here's exclusive report again. Pelosi home is surrounded by CCTV cameras and security detail. Unlikely anyone could break in unnoticed. No doubt about it. Joe Hoff reporting. Attorney Hamid Dilan shared that there were security cameras all over the neighborhood where the Pelosi's live. We're able to confirm this is the case. There are CCTV cameras all over the Pelosi house. The U.S. Speaker of the House would not be anything but well protected. See pictures above. There's also a security detail at the Pelosi House, reportedly around the clock. Look at the photograph. There is a glass pane and a back door window that's been broken out. Two of them, in fact. But the glass is on the outside. What could be more obvious? If there'd actually been a break-in from the outside, the glass would be on the inside. And Paul Pelosi has damage to his right arm and hand. No doubt when he cut himself, when he punched out the glass at the back of the home to make it look as though there'd been a break-in. But then he blew it by admitting that the guy's name is David and he's a friend. Turns out, Paul Pelosi attacker lived in a Berkeley hippie commune. Michael Schellenberger, who is all over this case. As I discovered yesterday, DePap, the attacker's name, David DePap, lived with notorious local nudist in Berkeley home, complete with a Black Lives Matter sign in the window and an LGBT rainbow flag emblazoned with a marijuana symbol hanging from a tree. That does sound like a border. That does sound like someone who voted for Donald Trump. Would you not agree? Here's a very nice comment. No break-in. 911 calls for over a half an hour. Paul is in underwear. Assailant in underwear. Both are only one had a hammer. Assailant took hammer from Paul and hit him with police present. Police were only doing a welfare check in this gated community with private security. Broken window is from inside as glass is on outside. He thinks a man like Paul, who hangs out in gay bars and brings young men home late at night as attested to by neighbors, had a spat with his date. His date is a radical leftist. His date is not a mega man. His date is registered green and lives in Berkeley in a nudist community supporting BLM. Additionally, nudist ex-lover of Paul Pelosi attacker is female pedophile who arrests boy age 14 and who bought sex dolls for their sons to use. What a thoughtful mom. Here you have the real hammer. Adult sex toys love hammer, pink round vibrator hammer, $94.33 at Amazon.com. Adult sex toy, pink round vibrator, shaped like a hammer, fast shipping to all 48 states, batteries not included. Now you fill this little beauty with batteries, as no doubt was the case, and hit someone over the head like being hit over the head with a heavy flashlight, which incidentally appears to be how JonBenet Ramsey died. And her mother, Patsy, got so upset when JonBenet wet the bed, she hit her over the head with a flashlight and killed her. Remember how the body was all wrapped up with great care in a blanket? A little heart was drawn in the palm of her hand? No one in the world would do that except her mother. The story is really quite sordid, but because it appears that, as Dean Ryan reported based on his research in the area, JonBenet was being gang raped by multiple men who were in the law enforcement chain of command. Now, Dean reported this, and I believe he has it right. But of course, I cannot guarantee this to be a fact. I am offering an opinion based on Dean's research, which appears to fit the scene and explain why there was so much trouble solving a crime, where who was responsible would have been obvious once they discovered the body. Here you have a tweet from Harry Vox. Pelosi's ass hammer. David DePap tells investigators he and Paul Pelosi were engaging in gay sex in an argument ensued over drugs. Pelosi's are refusing to turn over surveillance video of their home, fueling more speculation of homosexuality at the house. No doubt about it. And would you believe the San Francisco district attorney, and this just shows you how corrupt the Democrats are, said there's no evidence that they knew each other, that Paul Pelosi and his attacker knew each other. How can she say that? When right there in the dispatcher's report, Paul Pelosi said there was a man in the house, and then he added, his name is David, and he's a friend. And yet you have the San Francisco district attorney saying there's no evidence they even knew each other. Absurd beyond belief. Other reports, by the way, have it that David DePap was also with Paul Pelosi when he was earlier pulled over for driving under the influence. But the party with him was not at that point identified. Top 12 story number 8. FBI raids Mar-a-Lago, but it's just political theater. The Mar-a-Lago affidavit really does read as if they were confiscating Russiagate evidence. there are a whopping 413 redacted lines. Raheem Kassan writes, the affidavit is out, the one wherein the U.S. government found it necessary to raid a former president's home earlier this month. And despite a whopping 413 redacted lines, yes, I counted each one, the document appears to implicate the FBI, DOJ, and Judge Breese Reinhardt in colluding to remove documents related to the long debunked Russiagate saga. Here is why. Page 3 of the document asserts U.S. Code 793E 1519 in 2071, which means they were looking for general national defense information and alleging there had been some concealment, mutilation, or destruction of records without the approval of the bureaucracy. The problem here is that everyone knows the President of the United States has no ability to perform these crimes, especially as he is the sole arbiter and declassifier of such information, as expressed in his lawyer's letter included with the affidavit. The only other particularly interesting part of the affidavit is the inclusion of Attorney Evan Corcoran's letter to the Department of Justice on May 25th, which makes clear that President Trump had declassified the documents in question. Perhaps this is why during the entire affidavit they are not referred to as classified documents, but rather documents with classified markings. The whole thing was such a sham. Here's Representative Elaine Loria. The FBI's raid on Mar-a-Lago is an unprecedented action in reaction to an unprecedented presidency. We have never had a president who sought to overturn an election and summon a mob to D.C. as Donald Trump did on January 6th. Is she a rhino? She's talking here with Rachel Maddow. And we sure all know the score about her. Meanwhile, David B. Rifkin Jr. and Lee A. Casey report the Trump warrant had no legal basis. A former president's rights under the Presidential Records Act trumped the statutes the FBI cited to justify the Mar-a-Lago raid. Wonderland. The first Trump presidency began with a Russian collusion narrative. Now we have its offspring, the classified documents narrative, which, like its predecessor, is heavy on insinuation and light on facts. Was the Federal Bureau of Investigation justified in searching Donald Trump's residence at Mar-a-Lago? The judge who issued the warrant for Mar-a-Lago has signaled he is likely to release a redacted version of the affidavit supporting it. But the warrant itself suggests the answer is likely no. The FBI had no legal valid cause for the raid. The warrant authorized the FBI to seize all physical documents and records constituting evidence, contraband, fruits of crime, or other items illegally possessed in violation of 18 U.S. Code 793, 2071, or 1519. These three criminal statutes all address the possession and handling of materials that contain national security information, public records or material relevant to an investigation, or other matters properly before a federal agency or the courts. Here, the Babylon Bee gets it exactly right. Redacted affidavit just says, orange man bad. U.S. The Department of Justice has released a redacted affidavit leading to the search of former President Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago. And it appears every single word was blacked out except three in the middle. Orange man bad. According to Justice Department insiders, after looking into Mr. Trump's dealings and listening to his phone calls for the past 4 years, they were left with only one conclusion. The orange man is bad. We think this gives us sufficient reason to raid Mr. Trump's home, take his passports, and steal his wife's clothing, said Attorney General Merrick Garland. The evidence is clear. The orange man is bad and must be stopped at all costs. Now, if the reporters here today would join me in our customary chant. Orange man bad. Orange man bad. Orange man bad. The reporters dutifully obliged. As published at publishing time, the Justice Department had agreed to declassify more of the document, showing the final line was just re. Here we have a nice capture. First, you serve 4 years as my VP, learning who the deep state scumbags are. This is a photograph of Donald Trump with DeSantis of Florida. Then you get 8 years to destroy the bastards. Again, first you serve 4 years as my VP, learning who the deep state scumbags are. Then you get 8 years to destroy the bastards. I like the thought. But according to the Constitution, candidates for the presidency and vice presidency may not come from the same state. Thus, one would have to move, and obviously the governor cannot. So if he were to run with DeSantis, you'd see Donald Trump returning to New York City. Top 12 story number 7. Supreme Court drops Roe v. Wade. Breaking. The Roe v. Wade SCOTUS decision is finally dropped. Here's the 411, written by Wes Walker. Abortion is not a constitutional right, so says the law of the land. The worst kept secret in judicial history is now legal precedent. Roe has been struck down. The vote to overturn Roe was 5-4, with Justices Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett joining Alito's opinion. Chief Justice John Roberts filed a separate opinion, agreeing with the court's decision to uphold the Mississippi law, but arguing that the court should not have decided the broader question of whether the Constitution protects abortion at all. The court's three liberals, Justice Stephen Breyer, Sonia Sotomayor, and Elena Kagan, filed a joint dissent from SCOTUS blog. This does not mean abortion is outlawed or illegal. Each state will have the right to say what its own laws will look like. New York, California, and Vermont will still be able to have abortion policies that echo North Korea and China's right to the moment of birth policy. But states like Missouri or Texas can ban abortion in all but the most specific of circumstances. And we have Benny Johnson tweeting, breaking. Missouri becomes the first state to ban abortion after SCOTUS ruling. Didn't take him any time at all. Here I have Attorney General Ken Paxton tweeting. SCOTUS just overruled Roe and Casey, any one of the most morally and legally corrupt eras in U.S. history. Praise the Lord. Abortion is now illegal in Texas. Today I'm closing my office and making it an annual holiday as a memorial to the 70 million lives lost because of abortion. In the end, most states will probably fall somewhere between those ends of the spectrum without at least some kind of upper limit to when they think a reasonable cutoff point should be. Justice Clarence Thomas' concurring decision has made the libs even angrier than the overturning of their beloved Roe. He wrote that it is a duty of the court to reconsider other demonstrably erroneous decision in order to correct the error of those precedents. He specifically cites birth control, Griswold, sodomy, Lawrence, and same-sex marriage, Obergefell. For that reason, and this is Thomas, in future cases, we shall reconsider all of this court's substantive due process precedents, including Griswold, Lawrence, and Obergefell. Because any substantive due process decision is demonstrably erroneous. Ramos versus Louisiana, 590 U.S. 2020. Thomas J., concurring in judgment. We have a duty to correct the error established in those precedents. Gamble versus United States, 587 U.S. 2019. Thomas J., concurring. After overruling these demonstrably erroneous decisions, The question would remain whether other constitutional provisions guarantee the myriad rights that our substantive due process cases have generated. For example, we could consider whether any of the rights announced in this court's substantive due process cases are privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States protected by the 14th Amendment. He adds, get ready for the Dems to try to pack the court after this. Meanwhile, chaos in Los Angeles as violent leftists riot over Roe v. Wade being overturned. Chaos and mayhem took over in Los Angeles Friday night when pro-abortion activists rioted over the Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade and hand control of abortion laws back to the states. Here's Alec Brusewitz tweeting, the Joe Biden Democrat-incited insurrection happening in downtown Los Angeles right now looks really bad. Left-wing domestic terrorists are attacking the police. Terrible. Hollywood liberals lose their minds over SCOTUS decision on Roe. After the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade Friday, liberals in Hollywood went positively bonkers on social media. Abortion will soon be banned in 13 states. Here's which could be next. And it's showing how laws in these various states would virtually ban abortion, perhaps only to save the life of the mother. Utah, South Dakota, Missouri, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana, Alabama, Kentucky. Those likely to impose additional restrictions. Idaho, Wyoming, North Dakota, Texas, Mississippi, Tennessee. I must add my own personal opinion. It seems to me that the pro-choice position is the only one that is actually remotely democratic and American, giving a woman the right to choose how her body will be used. I believe the Roe decision was among the wisest ever made by the Supreme Court. Where there's unrestricted right to abortion during the first trimester, the state can regulate how it's done during the second, and then at the time of viability, when the fetus could exist as an entity separate from the intrauterine environment, the court declares essentially, or did then, a primitive right to life, to be able to have the right to be carried to a birth, absent any conflict with a mother with regard to her right to life, which overrides, or her right to her health, where any abortion for any other reason would be murder, absolutely, for any other reason in the third trimester. This, in my opinion, does not compel any woman to have an abortion, but it also does not compel any woman to carry to term an unwanted fetus. There are all kinds of sociological studies showing unwanted children tend to be neglected. They grow up to become juvenile delinquents, become criminals, become a great burden on society. Prior to the end of the second trimester, by this account, what is developing in the woman's body is a precious kind of personal property belonging to the woman, and she has the right to decide. What for me is decisive is the following consideration. If a woman does not have the right for an abortion, even though she may have too many members in her family, she may not have enough money to support, she may be forced to change her whole trajectory of her life by having a baby, she's not forced to carry to term. That is a form of reproductive slavery that I find objectionable. I respect everyone who holds an alternative view. But should this not be made, this most personal of all decisions, be made by a woman in her own context in consultation with her physician, her family, and her religion? I mean, really, truly. And because the Democrats are so fanatic about a woman's right to choose, how can they have been so hypocritical as to not stand up for a person's right to choose whether or not to have the vax? The vax is doing more damage than any other medical procedure in the history of humanity. The statistics are simply staggering. So where are the Democrats on this issue? Their hypocrisy boggles the mind. We're close to the break, so I'll begin. We'll not be able to finish. Top 12 story number 6. Elon Musk takes control of Twitter. Elon is trolling and the internet is rolling. Even if you're not a fan of Elon Musk's takeover of Twitter, there's no denying that he's funny. In his latest trolling episode, Musk pokes fun at CBS as he returned to Twitter after just 2 days of taking a Twitter break. CBS announced on November 18th they were halting all usage of the platform due to the uncertainty under the new management. The uncertainty that CBS was referring to is likely the mass exodus that happened at Twitter headquarters last week following an email from Musk. Musk gave employees until Thursday afternoon on November 17th to sign off on an agreement that if they were to stay at the company, they would commit to working hardcore with long hours and high intensity. After just 40 hours off the platform, CBS announced they would be returning to usage but monitoring the situation carefully. It seems this is not the first time CBS has got it wrong. I suppose it's only natural for this type of platform to test the waters and see what sticks. In this case, few followed suit and jumped the Twitter ship as CBS had hoped, and Musk's endeavor for a freely speaking platform continues. Alec Rosen tweets, okay, but if you literally just reinstated Jim Fetzer, who wrote a book called Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, where he was appealing for Alex Jones to be reinstated, Alex Rosen was replying, to be continued.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. that time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Hey, this is The Raw Deal with Dr. James Fetzer. This is Studio B, Revolution Radio. You can call and listen to the show at this number if you choose in Studio B, 518-906-1859 to call and listen to Studio B. And Jim, I passed Jim an article a few minutes ago about the one of the latest things that came out with Elon Musk. I hope I'm not stumping on Jim's future news article here. Are you there, brother?
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry
about
that.
There you are.
Hey, today is just a really complicated day. Okay.
Oh, God bless.
So here we have Elon, Alex Rosen replying to Elon Musk, who's replying to Kim.com and SamHarris.org, who want to have Alex Jones restored. And Elon Musk tweets to them, "My firstborn child died in my arms. I felt his last heartbeat. I have no mercy for someone who would use the deaths of children for gain, politics, or fame." And Alex Rosen replies, his handle, "I Fight for Kids." Okay, but you literally just reinstated at Jim Fetzer, who wrote a book called Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. So, but he didn't blink. He didn't budge. I even sent him an email of my own saying, reinstate Alex Jones because he did nothing wrong, and with a photograph of Noah Posner celebrating his 8th birthday, where I added, "That's pretty good for a kid who died at the age of 6. You can find it on my Twitter, at Jim Fetzer. Meanwhile, breaking. Top GOP congresswoman just got her Twitter feed account reinstated. Elon Musk has now completed the process of restoring Marjorie Taylor Greene's private Twitter account. She just sent out a tweet from her congressional account a few minutes ago announcing that her private account is back. Marjorie Taylor Greene tweets, I'm the only member of Congress the unelected big tech oligarchs permanently banned. On January 2nd, 2022, they violated my freedom of speech and ability to campaign and fundraise, crying COVID misinformation. My account is back. Go to at MT Green E, MTGREENEE, for MTG Unfiltered. On her personal account, which only has 173.1 thousand followers, she's not yet tweeted. Therefore, the account is currently empty. In comparison, she had 465,000 followers a day before they suspended her account. So this is quite a drop in the bucket. I am relieved to see that all these suspensions have been lifted from Elon Musk's free speech Twitter account. However, as I mentioned the other day, he is not removing all of them. One example is the account of Alex Jones, which is as follows. Is it time to let Alex Jones back on Twitter at Elon Musk? If not, why not? Tweeted Sam Harris. Elon Musk replying to Sam Harris. Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven, to which Kim.com tweeted. Alex effed up with Sandy Hook. He admitted that and apologized. He also got a lot of conspiracy theories right. If serial liars like Biden and Trump are allowed on Twitter, then Alex Jones should be allowed too. Please reconsider in the interest of free speech. And as I have explained, I sent him an email saying that Alex had done nothing wrong. Meanwhile, Trump's last two tweets just resurfaced and revealed bad news for his haters. It's kind of hard to lead an insurrection when you're telling everyone to remain peaceful and to support Capitol Police and to stay peaceful. Last night, Elon Musk reinstated President Trump's Twitter account hours after a poll of Twitter users asked that the 45th president should be reinstated. More than 15 million participated in the Twitter poll. 51.8 voted yes and 48.2 voted no. Trump's Twitter account was up and running shortly after Elon Musk agreed to reinstate it. Since an account was taken down on January 8, 2021, his tweets from that week were the last messages he posted on Twitter before the left silenced him. And look what popped up. Donald J. Trump, 1621. I am asking for everyone at the U.S. Capitol to remain peaceful. No violence. Remember, we are the party of law and order. Respect the law and our great men and women in blue. Thank you. And Donald J. Trump, same date, 1621. Please support our Capitol Police and law enforcement. They are truly on the side of our country. Stay peaceful. Top 12 story number 5. Alex Jones and Jim Fetzer get the shaft over Sandy Hook. Alex Jones is ordered to pay another $475 million to Sandy Hook families. This is so over the top. I can't believe anyone takes it seriously. Conspiracy theorist Alex Jones and his company were ordered Thursday to pay an extra $475 million to victims' families and an FBI agent for calling the 2012 Sandy Hook school shooting a hoax, adding to a nearly $1 billion jury verdict issued last month. Connecticut Judge Barbara Bellis imposed a punitive damages on the InfoWars host and Jones repeatedly told his millions of followers a massacre that 12 killed 20 first graders and 6 educators was staged by crisis actors to enact more gun control. He's got him right. 8 victims' relatives and the FBI agent testified during a month-long trial about being threatened and harassed for years by people who deny the shooting happened. Strangers showed up at some of their homes and confronted some of them in public. People hurled abusive comments at them on social media and in email, and some received death and rape threats. Here's Alex looking a little wary conspiracy theorist Alex Jones and his company were ordered Thursday to pay an extra $473 million to victims' families in Connecticut. Punitive damages for defamation and infliction of emotional distress are generally limited to plaintiff's legal fees. The Sandy Hook plaintiff lawyers are to get one-third of the $965 million in compensatory damages under a retainer agreement, putting their legal fees at $322 million. I mean, think about it. Alex Jones being socked with a billion-dollar fine for expressing an opinion? What has become of the United States? What has become freedom of speech? What has become of freedom of the press? This is just absurd. But there is no cap on punitive damages for violations of the Unfair Trade Practices Act. The plaintiffs had not asked for a specific amount of punitive damages, but under one hypothetical calculation, they said such damages could be around $2.75 trillion. Under the unfair trade, I mean, this is so ridiculous. This is so disgraceful. It's even talking about numbers like this in a purported defamation case. I mean, this is just stunning. In a similar trial in Texas in August, Jones was ordered to pay nearly $50 million to the parents of another child killed in the Sandy Hook shooting for calling the massacre a hoax, which I guarantee you it was. A forensic economist testified during the trial that Jones and Free Speech Systems have a combined net worth as high as $270 million. A third and final trial over Jones's hoax claims is expected to begin around the end of the year in Texas. As in Connecticut, Jones was found liable for damages without trials in both Texas cases because he failed to turn over many records to the plaintiffs. That's mean there was no finding of the facts. There was no finding of the fact that the shooting was real. It did not happen. All of these cases were decided on procedural grounds. Assumption, agreement, default, ridiculous. This is, of course, among the reasons I went to the Supreme Court. Here is State of the Nation commenting on the press release. Fetzer v. Posner in the United States Supreme Court petition for rehearing filed on 1 November 2022. State of the Nation. This may be the single most important issue brought before the Supreme Court in our lifetime. Why would they say that? Because it has to do with your right to a trial by jury. Notice Alex Jones was denied his right to a trial by jury. No jury heard the case that determined the fact that somebody died at Sandy Hook. I was denied the opportunity to present my evidence because in Wisconsin, you have the very peculiar summary judgment protocol that allows a judge to decide whether or not facts are reasonable or unreasonable. And if he finds them to be unreasonable, he can set them aside as though they did not exist. That included my FEMA manual for the event. That included FBI consolidated crime report showing zero at the intersection of murder and non-negligent manslaughter for Newtown in 2012. That included a dissection of the official report by Stephen Sadinsky III that does not create a causal nexus tying together the shooter, his weapons, and the alleged weapons he's supposed to have used. Also, I have demonstrated again and again events on the ground corresponded to the FEMA manual, including the sign, everyone must check in. It says right in the manual, everyone must check in with a controller upon arrival. Even Pat LaLorda, the first selectman in Newtown, a position equivalent to mayor, testified under oath the sign had been put there by the Department of Homeland Security. Well, the official account were true. Homeland Security should not have been there. If it had been a shooting, the local and state police would have been there, but not Homeland Security. But, of course, FEMA is under Homeland Security. So in my appendices to the United States Supreme Court, I included one of the manual. That was Appendix B, which was already published in my book, which Amazon had banned, plus Connecticut FEMA having on their schedule for 12-14-2012 from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. FEMA L 366, planning for the needs of children in disasters at Sandy Hook Elementary School, which is only 18 miles away, where they even included a map. Here, SCOTUS can't figure out it was a scam, even when I gave them a Connecticut FEMA map from his offices at Sandy Hook Elementary, plus photos from Connecticut police files showing no bodies, no blood, and no student deserters. Petition denied. Download to see for yourself. Here is another. Take a look at Appendix E, which I also provide them. The sworn affidavit of a Texas licensed private investigator. He compared the state police report with the photos in its own archive, from which the metadata had been removed. Here is down the hallway. In his comments, this is the floor area described as having hawksprung, namely the principal, and Sherlock, the psychologist, lying in pools of blood. While some evidence of red substance is present, in my opinion, it's not consistent with the statement pools of blood, and of course there are no bodies there. Here's another, which I actually sent to Elon Musk, Jonathan Turley, John B. Wells, Tom Fitton. Other photos inside the classroom not only show no bodies or blood, but no student deaths or chairs, no teacher's deaths, no American flag. Not only proof it was not a mass murder, but prove it was not even an operational school. Here you have the statement. In addition, can you believe I provided SCOTUS with proof Sandy Hook was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder, including the FEMA manual, the Connecticut FEMA schedule, and images from the Connecticut State Police files showing no bodies and no blood, yet petition denied? Here's the final paragraph and signature. At this point in time, my position is that the evidence appears to be more consistent with the alternative account of a FEMA exercise presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Signed, Brian Davidson, Panoramic Investigations, license number A17936, sworn and subscribed in Texas. They had all that before the Supreme Court. Let me just say, I have been given to understand they could not allow my case to go before the Supreme Court because it would undo all the massive publicity they invested in the Alex Jones trials, which are intended to convince Americans that if you even raise a question about Sandy Hook, look what can happen to you. All of that would have been undone if they had granted my petition for a writ. How bad is that? What has become of the American judiciary? What has become of the American government? What has become of the Constitution of the United States? This is just disgusting beyond belief. Top 12 story number 4. Biden withholds JFK records as Tucker and RFK Jr. blow the whistle. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the CIA's murder of my uncle was a coup d'etat from which democracy has never recovered. Again, Jim Hoft. What are they hiding? Tucker on CIA involvement. Tucker asked an expert on these files who's familiar with their content whether or not they showed the CIA was involved. And he replied as follows. The answer is yes. I believe they were involved. It's a whole different country from what we thought it was. It's all fake. Tonight, Tucker Carlson provided the answer to this question. According to Tucker, the answer is the CIA was involved in the assassination of JFK. Tucker Carlson. We spoke to someone who has access to these still hidden CIA documents. A person is deeply familiar with what they contain. We asked this person directly, did the CIA have a hand in the murder of John F. Kennedy, an American president? And here is the reply we received verbatim. The answer is yes. I believe they were involved. It's a whole different country from what we thought it was. It's all fake. Fox News host Tucker Carlson gives his take on a source saying the CIA was involved in JFK's assassination on Tucker Carlson Tonight. on Friday, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. responded to the Tucker Carlson report. Not only was Robert's uncle assassinated, but his father was also assassinated while he was running for president. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the most courageous newscast in 60 years. The CIA's murder of my uncle was a successful coup d'etat from which our democracy has never recovered. I responded to that tweet with the following. At RFK Jr., I admired your uncle and your father. I would have gladly given up my life for theirs. If you want to know what the CIA has been covering up, here's a distillation of 30 years of collaborative research with the best experts to ever study the case. The real deal. The real deal, November 18, 2021 JFK special dedicated to Oliver Stone, whose new film will be released on 22 November 2021. His JFK was a masterpiece with three flaws. You can't read it all. But he didn't know that Lee Oswald was standing in the doorway of the book depository when the JFK motorcade went by. He didn't know the whole movies of the assassination, including the Zapruder, had been massively edited and revised. And he did not know, well, he posited three hit teams or actually six, I mean actually eight assassins in Dealey Plaza. Well, we've tracked them down and identified. Here's another. At Jim Fetzer. Jeremy interviewed me about the JFK cover-up. No, Lee Oswald did not shoot JFK. He was actually standing in the doorway of the book depository when the JFK motorcade passed by. You know, he can't be the lone gunman, but cannot have been a one of eight shooters. You'll find it. Go there. You can link it at Germ Warfare with a J, JERMWarfare.com. James Fetzer on JFK's assassination cover-up. Or if you want more, check out my fourth book on JFK, where I have pioneered collaborative research. JFK, Who, How, and Why, Solving the World's Greatest Murder Mystery. Oswald didn't even fire a single shot. Available at moonrockbooks.com. Actually, this one has not been banned by Amazon, even though six of my other books of collaborative research on Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, and even the moon landing have all been banned. Check out moonrockbooks.com. Top 12 story number three. Democrats steal the 2022 midterms. New York Post, before the election, Joe's train wreck. Gas hits brutal, $6 a gallon. Border crisis gets worse. Ministry of Truth collapses. Market drops 1,164, worst day in 2 years. Baby formula disaster. Here we have, among the many reports, this from the Babylon Bee again, but capturing the situation exactly. Biden abolishes office of president and names himself Supreme Pure. Reuters poll, Joe Biden's net approval dropped 7 points in 1 week. President Joe Biden's net approval rate dropped a full 7 points in 1 week, according to a Reuters Ipsos poll released Tuesday. That was on 31 August. Trump, poll numbers have soared because of FBI raid. Here we have EWTN Real Clear poll. GOP candidates dominate with Catholics in six states. Here's another. White suburban women favored GOP by 15 points, prefer Donald Trump over Joe Biden. Here's another. Liberal Washington Post admits GOP loves Trump, Dems dislike Biden. These are all right before the election. This is Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022. Meanwhile, we know what happened. They stole it in so many massive ways. I recounted this in The Death of Democracy. You can find it on my Twitter account, at Jim Fetzer. That's probably the best place. You can find it on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. You can check it out there as well. You want to watch. because I explain exactly how they did it. And it turns out there are even more issues involved here. Meanwhile, Carrie Lake calls for a do-over election after 70 voting machines failed in Maricopa County. Republican candidate Carrie Lake is calling for a partial do-over in Arizona's governor election. It's the most high-profile dispute yet to emerge in a midterm cycle that handed defeats to Lake and other candidates endorsed by former President Donald Trump. Here, just to give you some background about preposterous who was it, Katie Hobbs could have legitimately beat Carrie Lake. On Twitter, Carrie Lake, 1.11 million followers, Katie Hobbs, 148,000. On Facebook, Carrie Lake, 214,000. Katie Hobbs, 11,000. Here we have, then in Pennsylvania, who won the Pennsylvania Senate debate? This is Interactive Polls. Republican Mahmoud Oz, 82%. Democrat John Fetterman, 18%. It was preposterous to have Fetterman beat Oz in Pennsylvania and for Hobbs to beat Lake in Arizona. Election takeaway, no sweep for the Republicans. And here you have a crowd out there holding Fetterman signs. I guarantee you 100% this is a paid crowd. This is propaganda. Barack Obama nullified the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948, which precluded the use of the same techniques of propaganda and disinformation within the United States that were being used without. Staged events. Coup d'etats, phony, everything fake by the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, just in time to bring us Sandy Hook. And I guarantee you right here, we have a crowd holding Fetterman signs that is phony and fake. Please kill the break, Mitchell, kill the break. Meanwhile, thank you, Mitchell. Thank you. Meanwhile, famous Democrat strategist James Carville says parties should have lost 57 seats, but were saved by Trump. How could they have been saved by Trump when everyone loved Trump? He's got tremendous following. There's no other politician in America with a comparable hold on the American people. No one. But James Carville is admitting here they would have lost 57 seats, but for cheating, stealing, manipulating. There are multiple techniques that were involved here. They were going after the voter rolls using ERIC and other techniques to call, add names of people who don't even exist, people who died, people who moved. They were sending out ballots, legitimate ballots, to parties with fake zip code numbers so they could then harvest the ballots and submit them. They were deliberately introducing flaws in the ballots so that they'd be kicked out by the machine, not tabulated, but sent for adjudication, which could be done without revealing who was doing it or how it was done to change the votes. In the case, for example, of Carrie Lake to Hobbs, or in the case of Oz to Fetterman. And now it turns out that, and I'm just astonished that we have this situation here, those who are manufacturing the ballots actually produced ballots that were the wrong size to be properly processed by the voting machines. And yet the judge in Arizona, even confronted with the evidence that this had been done, and there's no possible way it could not have been deliberate, nevertheless, refused Carrie Lake to go forward with her lawsuit. I mean, this is just unconscionable, unconscionable. First, he took out most of the claims. She had 8, 10, or a dozen. If you read the initial complaint, it was wonderful. he excluded all of them but two. And one of them had to do with a tabulation of the ballots. And they even had the guy who was in charge of the election system in Arizona admit they had changed the specs on the machines that day so they'd kick out these ballots that were being cast for the Republican candidates. So what in the hell has happened to the American judicial system? What in the hell has happened to the courts? What has in the past distinguish the United States is that we have been a nation of law and order, a nation where justice is blind, a nation where we do not politicize our institutions, our law enforcement, or our Department of Justice. That is a relic. That is a figment of the past. We are a third world nation, have no doubt about it. Brought to us compliments of the Democrat Party, Joe Biden, Barack Obama, and every other one who's out to sabotage democracy to benefit the misnamed Democratic Party. Meanwhile, top 12 story number two. CIA approves jab for kids in spite of massive proof of death. Breaking. CDC votes to recommend COVID-19 shots for children and adolescents, annual immunization schedule in 15 unanimous votes. Jim Hoft again, Gateway Pundit. Wonderful, wonderful. I also highly recommend a conservative treehouse. ACIP recommends the use of COVID-19 vaccines for everyone aged 6 months and older. COVID-19 vaccine and other vaccine may be administered on the same day. Watch the video below. Great Price tweets, breaking. The CDC just officially voted to add COVID-19 vaccine to the child immunization schedule. It was a unanimous 15-0 vote. Meanwhile, and they knew this, bombshell, UK data destroys entire premise for vaccine push. The media can read just as well as me, maybe, but somehow it's left to me to report this. Grammatically, it should be just as well as I, maybe, but somehow it is left to me to report this. Chris Waldberger. And here it shows COVID-19 deaths by vaccination status in England, 1st of April of 2022 to 31st of May 2022. Source, UK Office for National Statistics. The unvaccinated over this vast period of time, 288 deaths between 1 April 2022 and 31 May 2022. That's a two-month period. Vaccinated, 4,647. Of those who are triple vaccinated, 4,215. While you were distracted by Boris resigning, the UK government quietly published a report confirming the vaccinated account for 94% of all COVID-19 deaths since April, 90% of which were triple or quadruple jabbed. In all, according to the ONS, Office of National Statistics, there are 4,935 COVID-19 deaths over these 2 months. And the vaccinated population accounted for a shocking 4,647 of them. What's even more shocking is a triple vaccine accounted for 4,216 of those deaths, with only 288 deaths recorded among the unvaxxed population. In March of 2022, there were 321 COVID-19 deaths within 90 days of a positive test among the unvaccinated population, according to the UK HSA Week 13 Vaccine Surveillance Report, as detailed in the following chart, extracted from Table 13B of the report. COVID-19 deaths in England by vaccination status, this is now a different time period, 28 Feb to 27 March of 22. Not vaccinated, 321. Vaccinated, 3,736. So my God, how many times more likely are you to die if you got vaccinated than if you weren't? And then breaking that down, One dose vaccinated, 89 died. Two dose vaccinated, 593. Three dose vaccinated, 3,054. Meanwhile, we're completely baffled. Right, Sean, Aldi, Tabatav. We're completely baffled. Dozens of fully jabbed tourists suddenly drop dead in Italy. Dozens of fully jabbed tourists in Italy have died suddenly and unexpectedly in the last 24 hours, according to authorities. Typical. Again, those reports from all over the world. Meanwhile, Dr. Birx admits she and Fauci made up the science on lockdowns and social distancing. This is from Zero Hedge by Tyler Durden, which is a fictional name they give to their group reporting, but it's good stuff. President Trump's former COVID-19 advisor, Dr. Deborah Birx, has made several stunning admissions of late first telling the Daily Mail that COVID-19 came out of the box ready to infect when it hit Wuhan, China in 2019, and that it may have been created by Chinese scientists who are working on coronavirus vaccines. Peter McCullough tweets, at Benny Johnson, Scarlet Lady committed scientific fraud and misled the president and the nation into unnecessary lockdowns and restrictions based on the false presumption that the virus spread among healthy people, asymptomatically spread. That was disproven by Cao et al., Madewell et al., and others. He's citing scientific studies that shows a virus was not spreading among healthy people. If you were asymptomatic, you were not spreading the virus. Here we have another from Epic TV and the Epic Times I highly recommend. This has cost millions of lives. Steve Kirsch on suppression of repurposed drugs and a spike in deaths 5 months after vaccine rollout. Jan Jakelic from American Thought Leaders. The clue was the embalmers. The clue was the insurance companies. The embalmers never saw anything until midway in 2021. And then they started seeing these massive clots. It only started 6 months into the vaccine program, said Steve Kirsch, the executive director of the Vaccine Safety Research Foundation. Kirsch argues there are two peaks of vaccine-related mortality. One is within weeks of vaccination, and one is about 5 or 6 months after. A successful entrepreneur and philanthropist, Kirsch has started a number of high-tech companies, including one of the first internet search engines, InfoSeek. And he is also one of two people who independently invented the optical mouse. During the COVID-19 pandemic, he founded the COVID-19 Early Treatment Fund and raised millions of dollars to fund outpatient clinical trials for repurposed drugs. When I started speaking out against the vaccine within weeks, all 14 members of my scientific advisory board quit. We discussed the suppression of repurposed drugs like fluvovaccine, perverse hospital incentives, and the bewildering lack of institutional interest in looking at data on vaccine-related injuries and deaths. Everybody's drinking the Kool-Aid. And these vaccine-injured people are paying the price, Kirsch says. Meanwhile, top 12 story number one. U.S. and NATO provoke Russia to verge of World War III. Now Moscow claims that Britain's Royal Navy blew up Nord Stream 1 and 2 gas pipelines, as Ministry of Defense says, invented slur. This is more about arguments going on inside Russia's government. Russian Defense Ministry says UK's Navy helped plan and implement the attack. Also claim the same troops were responsible for a drone attack this morning. British Ministry of Defense said Moscow has resorted to peddling false claims. Nord Stream pipes exploded last month, leading to 4 gas leaks in the Baltic Sea. This is Rachel Moore for Mail Online. Russia's army has accused the British Navy of being involved in explosions on the Nord Stream gas pipelines and of helping Ukraine plan a massive drone attack on Moscow's Black Sea Fleet. Then we have a map. The explosions in the Nord Stream pipelines in September caused 4 gas leaks. While the leaks were in international waters, 2 of them were in the Danish exclusive economic zone, 2 of them in the Swedish. And remember, it was Joe Biden who assured the public that if Russia were to invade Ukraine, Nord Stream would be no more. And when asked by a reporter how they would do that, he declined to ask. Just take my word for it. Meanwhile, they also attacked the bridge connecting Crimea with Russia. Here is video. You can see various traffic on the bridge. It looks perfectly normal until, stand by. Here it comes.
При заезде получается на
сторону Керчи.
Wow! Wow! Whammy! Huge blast of the bridge. Staggering. Ukraine returned to the Stone Age in 1 hour. Russia's become serious now. Storm of Russian missiles from 4 points on the horizon, millions of Ukrainians in the dark. Strikes at the infrastructure of the energy system of Ukraine, 72 cruise missiles were involved all over the country, cut off the energy supply of Ukraine by 50%. Further reports, EU and NATO forming coalition for war against Russia, Lavrov. Moscow will closely follow the steps taken by the European Union, the Russian foreign minister said. London should be bombed first in World War III, says close Putin ally. Andriy Gruilov ranted about the West for almost 2 minutes. A close ally of Vladimir Putin has issued a chilling warning on Russian state TV saying London should be bombed first if World War III happens. I'd observe how this echoes Muammar Gaddafi's observation that if you want to put an end to international terrorism, just lob a cruise missile into the city of London. Andriy Gruilov, a member of Russia's Parliament Defense Committee, advocated the Russian invasion of Baltic countries during his segment. Speaking on Russia's propaganda machine, Channel One, he said, the only way to prevent the West from blocking Russian enclave Kaliningrad is to invade the Baltic states. We'll destroy the entire group of enemy space satellites during the first air operation, said the lieutenant general, a senior commander who now represents United Russia, the main pro-Vladimir Putin political party. No one will care if they are American or British. We would see them all as NATO. Second, we'll mitigate the entire system of anti-missile defense everywhere in 100%. Third, we certainly won't start from Warsaw, Paris, or Berlin. Meanwhile, U.S. accelerates plan to deploy upgraded nukes to Europe. The U.S. wants to replace its nuclear bombs in Europe with an updated version of the B-61-12. The U.S. has accelerated plans to deploy an upgraded version of its primary nuclear gravity bomb to Europe amid heightened tensions with Russia over the potential use of nuclear weapons. A cable obtained by Politico reveals that U.S. officials told NATO allies in Brussels this month that they will send an upgraded version of the B-61-12 airdrop gravity bomb to Europe by December. That would be this month. That would be now. The upgraded bomb was originally set to arrive in Europe next spring. The plan involves replacing older weapons with upgraded bombs at U.S. storage facilities in Europe. The U.S. keeps about 100 nuclear warheads at air bases in Germany, the Netherlands, Belgium, Italy, and Turkey. The upgrade to the B-61-12 replaces non-nuclear components to make it more accurate. The upgrade is also designed so it can be carried by all U.S. and allied bombers and fighter jets, unlike older versions of the bomb. Meanwhile, Congress is bringing back the idea of a limited nuclear war. To me, it's all about deterrence. We need some capacity to be able to fill a deterrence gap. If we leave the gap, then we are at risk, says Jeff Chagall. That's where we are. And bear in mind, Russia is preparing for nuclear war. They're refurbishing their bombshell shelters. They're warning the public. They are anticipating a war. They are prepared to fight, but do not want to fight. Meanwhile, the West is eager to take on a war that they want, but are not prepared to fight. I guarantee Russia has the most sophisticated nuclear arsenal in the world. Russia can take out the U.S. Russia can take out NATO. They have unstoppable weapons with multiple independent warheads. This is a very bad idea. Even a limited nuclear war, even restricted to Ukraine, which Russia has asserted they will not allow to happen. And if nukes are used, they are going all out. Would bring about the death of around one-third of the Earth's population, one-third of the Earth's population, even if there were a limited nuclear war in Ukraine. Check it out. The studies are there. Meanwhile, those were my top 12. I couldn't reduce it to 10. Here I even have one honorable mention. World Economic Forum wants us to eat bugs. How America ends. Putin announces a new BRICS global reserve currency project to replace a petrodollar. This is coming from Mike Adams. Although the biggest news of the week is undoubtedly the U.S. Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. There's a mother bombshell that quietly broke 2 days ago, one that will have vastly more profound, devastating consequence on the world than any decision coming from SCOTUS. Russian President Vladimir Putin announced that BRICS nations are going to roll out a new alternative to the U.S. dollar's global reserve currency status, as reported by IndiaTimes.com. According to the Russian president, the member states are also developing reliable alternative mechanisms for international payments. Earlier, the group said it was working on setting up a joint payment network to cut reliance on the Western financial system. The BRICS countries have also been boosting the use of local currencies in mutual trade. Western Europe is run by lunatics and woke propagandists who are committing economic suicide by outlawing every form of energy that matters. The EU is disintegrating. The EU currency likely will collapse within the next year. Western Europe is on a suicide mission, both economically and culturally, as the nations of Europe can't even protect their own borders from mass migration, nor can the U.S., for that matter. America, as you know it, will soon cease to exist. The era of Western civilization is coming to an end. It will be characterized by the collapse of the dollar, a global repudiation of the petrodollar status, a collapse of the rule of law across the United States, a collapse of the stock market, pension, bond market, and crypto markets, a collapse of the food supply chain, and a collapse of the fuel and transportation infrastructure. This will, in turn, take down the power grid in many areas, leading to a Mad Max-style scenario from which a few capable survivors will attempt to flee. Before the end of 2025, as I have publicly predicted for at least the last 5 years, America as you know it will cease to exist. This has been the plan all along from Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and plenty of rhino neoconservatives, the Cheneys, the Bushes, and more. They needed to take down America in order to achieve one world government under the fascist United Nations with universal gun control, universal vaccine mandates, abortion rights, engineered global starvation, and total control over all speech and elections. Russia knows that it can defeat America simply by joining the world's effort to declare American dollar currency to be null and void. No nuclear war is necessary. America is highly vulnerable to this sort of collapse due to the nation's massive debt and spending addictions. Russia and China are merely sucking the air out of America's collapsing currency, knowing that economic gravity will do the rest. The Belt and Road Initiative, the future of world trade without America and Western trade. Examine the following map depicting China's Belt and Road Initiative, consisting of protected high-efficiency trade routes among countries representing about 75% of the world's population. They go from all over China to India, Africa, up to parts of Europe, Rotterdam, through Russia, multiple. Meanwhile, exactly what is behind the UN and WEF insects as food agenda from the second smartest guy in the world? The two most prominent one world government nodes in the UN and the WEF have been aggressively pushing the bug food agenda for close to a decade now, to wit, World Economic Forum. Good grub. Why, we might be eating insects too. Here we have a report on environmental impact by species, contribution to greenhouse warming, where greenhouse warming is a complete and total fraud. Complete and total fraud. But they're using it to manipulate the world's governments. A 2013 article from the UN website, the latest buzz. Eating insects can help tackle food insecurity, says FAQ, the book. Edible insects. Future prospects for food and feed security stresses not just the nutritional value of insects, but the benefits that insect farming could potentially have on the environment in addressing the rapidly increasing demand for food worldwide. Last year, from the WEF website, why we need to give insects the role they deserve in our food system. By 2050, the world's food supply will need to feed another 2 billion people. That, of course, we know is false. Insect farming for food and animal feed could offer an environmental friendly solution to the impending food crisis. Except humans are evolved, and they're not evolved to eat insects. A source of protein and fertilizer, emerging technology could help bring insects back into the food system at scale. I guarantee you it cannot work. We're not evolutionarily adapted to eat insects. The CIA-run Hollywood and MSM have been deployed to normalize the insect as food agenda. Cult puppet and Rockefeller asset Bill Gates is also pushing this bug grub scheme, which perfectly jives with all things eugenics, death facts, and technocratic dystopia. All of this fits perfectly into Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, and Club of Rome's longstanding PSYOP climate change. So why bugs? What exactly is in these alleged sustainable high-protein food sources that makes them so important to the cult's agenda? Insects contain a natural structural component in their exoskeletons called chitin. This fibrous polysaccharide happens to be extremely toxic to humans. Specifically, chitin triggers inflammation and immune responses, to wit, chitin, a potentially allergy-promoting pathogen. Associated molecular pattern, PAMP, is a linear polymer composed of N-acetylcyanide residues, which are linked by glycoside bond. Mammalians are potential hosts for chitin-containing protozoa, fungi, arthropods, and nematoids. However, mammalians themselves do not synthesize chitin, and thus it is considered as a potential target for recognition by mammalian immune systems. Chitin is sensed primarily in the lungs or gut, where it activates a variety of innate and adaptive immune cells. Chitin induces cyclotine production, leukocyte recruitment, and alternative microphage activation. This sounds similar to some of the spike protein effects. It also sounds like this chitin is a kind of pathogen that could easily exacerbate VADs, meaning vaccine-induced medical problems. The conclusion in the research study entitled Chitin and Its Effects on Inflammatory and Immune Responses is rather measured, considering the various deeply troubling findings. What would happen to a person suffering from COVID and or the death vax if they were on an insect-heavy diet? What would happen to a person who developed asthma, inflammation, immunocompromisation, vitamin depletion, etc., from an insect-heavy diet if they contracted CODs and or received a spike protein-inducing injection? pulling the psyops low into and out of each other, altering diet in conjunction with never-ending modified mRNA injection would certainly over time increase depopulation, especially when the insects are genetically modified, as are their eaters. Insect-rich diets could very well have sad endings. And it's always the same elitist cabal of usual suspects pushing the very same agendas for their fourth industrial post-human telecommunist revolution. Do not comply. Meanwhile, major supermarket in UK planning to sell bugs as food to help poor people through the winter. So this is all being promoted as though it were supposed to be beneficial. But quite obviously, that is not the case. Completely incorrect that this is doing anything good for anyone. Totally outrageous. Those are my top 12 stories. Absolutely stunning stuff. Let us only hope that we can survive into 2023. Some are telling me it's going to be a much better year. I would sure like to believe that. But based upon what we've experienced here in 2022, which in my opinion has to be the worst year in American history, I'm going to take nothing for granted, absolutely nothing for granted. So let's hope those who are optimists are right. And meanwhile, spend all the time we can with the people you love. Don't waste a precious minute.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others will take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence